This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. You'll bring that person to South Beach?
I like that strip of pole, girl.
Honestly, if you're the Knicks, you bring Harden in the city that never sleeps?
I like that strip of pole, girl.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
James, what was the point that you were trying to get across when you went to Atlanta and Vegas?
I was just training.
What were you training for?
Started the NBA season.
Earlier on the show, Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf, CBS Sports NFL analyst Rich Gannon, 17-year NBA veteran Richard Jefferson, coming up, co-host of Peacock, brother from another, Michael Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. There's a great chat with Richard Jefferson that we just had. Basically, shooting you all straight from somebody who spent 19 seasons in the NBA about the narrative that James Harden deciding on when to leave town and affect travel schedules because he wants to stay in Los Angeles to party or fly off to Las Vegas. And the sense is that he is being a disruptive presence on his team because he's the star athlete and the rest of the team has to, I guess, roll with the whims of a star athlete trying to change up schedules and what have you. And Richard's like, look, this happens all the time. He's not the only one. And the way it's set up, I know yesterday, Chris, I came up with a construct in which a player would make these decisions. And if you were planning on going to the town and seeing a friend or seeing a family member, and now your plans are blown up, Richard basically said the star athlete checks with everybody and lets them know and say, let's figure out how we work out here and then we ball out. And he said Tim Duncan would say, we're going to spend an extra night in New York, but we've got to beat the Knicks. So get your rest tonight. We beat the Knicks and then we stay another day and party. Otherwise, coach is going to make us practice.
Makes sense.
And that, you know, that's the way it goes. Instead, Harden, it paints James as being a disruptive presence. It really was a fantastic kind of real talk convo that's going to be on our Twitter feed at Rich Eisen Show, our YouTube feed, YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show, right here on Peacock. SiriusXM, NBC Sports audio listeners, we say hello to you and everybody here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, headlined by the Mightier 1090, which once again is going to be the home of the Notre Dame-Clemson game this weekend, which Mike Del Tufo is all excited about.
I'm watching.
What time's kickoff?
4 o'clock Eastern.
That's correct, actually.
Wow, look at him. He's spotting dimes like Costanza.
I mean, come on, people.
All right, very good.
I can't wait.
Was that a guess, Mike, or you knew?
No, I knew.
Week 15 begins tonight, the Chargers and the Raiders. There's a lot of injury news that will definitely affect championship games, if not playoff games for fantasy leagues that are going to kick off tonight for the playoffs in Week 15. Chris Brockman has that news update. But is Rich Gannon on the line right now, sir?
Yes, he is.
As promised, really enjoy listening to him call games on CBS. At age 37, he was the MVP of the National Football League for Gruden and the Oakland Raiders, who are the Las Vegas Raiders tonight, taking on the Chargers. He's calling the Colts and Texans this weekend in Week 15. Rich Gannon here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Rich?
I am doing great, brother. And I have to tell you,
yes.
I'll never forget your graciousness and your hospitableness and all those wonderful things. When I came into the studio back in, I think, 2004, I was still playing, and you were so kind and so patient with me as I was struggling to put words together to talk over a, you know, a highlight reel or, you know, some B-roll, and you were just great. And I'll never forget that. You're a guy I look up to in the profession, and you do a great job. Anyway, your kindness certainly did not go unnoticed back in 2004 when I was trying to figure out, after 17 years in the National Football League, what should I do with myself?
Well, I can't believe it's been that long, because you came and spent some time in NFL Network, and it was obvious to me, Rich, that you had a lot to say and knew how to say it, you know. And I really enjoy listening to you call games. You're excellent at it. You call it like you see it, you know. But that's who you are, and that's why I think it works. Is you're natural, and I appreciate you saying that.
Rich, it's hard though. You know, it's amazing. You get done playing, whether you go to the NFL Network, whether you go to, you know, CBS or Fox, they throw you in a broadcast booth, or they throw you on a set and on a studio show, and there's not a lot of training. And there's not, you know, there's not a, it's just, and you guys are the experts. You guys have the background. And so we come in as the experts in terms of the game, but we don't understand the mechanics of the telestrator or, you know, going to break or coming, you know, the timing and the pace. I'll never forget my first game I ever did. I call it the Bills Buccaneers game.
Yes.
In 2005, week one. And I think the final score was like 3-0. And it was three downs and a punt, three downs and a punt. And literally, I just didn't understand the timing. And Sean McManus was at CBS, along with a guy named Tony Petitti, who's now at Major League Baseball Network.
Yes.
And Tony called me on Monday after the game, and he said, Rich, one of two things happened in that game. He said, either you don't understand the pacing and the timing of television, or you had nothing interesting to say. What was it? And I said, Tony, trust me, I don't understand the pacing, but I'll get it figured out, and I've got plenty to say. And that's all he had to tell me. The next week, I tell you what, I jumped right in there. Because I was waiting. There's these awkward pauses. No one ever told me, you know, how to do it. So anyway, that was a long time ago. I think I've gotten better at my craft.
Yes,
but I'll tell you what, it's hard.
Yes, you have, Rich. And it all led up to you calling a game with an 0-13 team right in front of your face last week. That's what it all led to. That's why you're doing it. But let's start a little bit before we do get into the here and now. I do want to just go down a little bit of memory lane of your career with you, about how, you know, you come out of Delaware. You're a Philly kid. By the way, the same high school of Stefanski and Judge, who we just saw go at it. I know Joe Judge did leave because Stefanski beat him out for a gig to succeed your footsteps in that great prep school, St. Joe's Prep. But you wound up in Minnesota, right? I mean, after being drafted by the Patriots, and then the only phrase for it, I guess, is kicked around a while trying to find your footing there too, Rich, correct?
I did, and absolutely. So I came out in 87, and I was actually drafted by the Patriots. And it was one of the few teams I never worked out for. And they told me when they drafted me, it was Dick Steinberg was the general manager, and Raymond Berry was the head coach. And they had just come off that 85 Super Bowl run.
Right.
And so they had Tony Eason and Steve Rogan and a guy named Mike Ramsey from UCLA. So they felt they were in pretty good shape. And they drafted me, and I thought to myself, why would I don't understand this. And so they told me they want to find the best position for me. Well, when you tell a quarterback, you know, who's 21 years old coming out of college, they want to find the best position for you, I thought to myself, there's zero chance I could go to a training camp and make a team as a defensive back or as a running back. So I was accepted to law school. My dad was an attorney. I was going to go to law school. And then 6 days later, I got traded to the Minnesota Vikings. And I wasn't really ready to play coming out of Delaware. It took me a couple of years to watch and learn behind Tommy Kramer and Wade Wilson, a couple of characters. But I finally got my chance, and, you know, I kind of bounced around a little bit. And then I got traded to the Redskins. And then finally I landed in Kansas City, where after 7 years, I got with some really good coaches, Marty Schottenheimer, and two assistant coaches, Paul Hackett, who had a great long career as an NFL coordinator, was the head coach at USC and a couple other places. But Mike McCarthy was my quarterback coach, Rich. And I'll tell you, that's really where my game began to take off. He was a phenomenal teacher and very patient with me, even though I was a 7-year veteran.
And then, so, okay, I want to put a pin in that for a moment. Then you wound up in Oakland. And what happened there? What was the magic sauce there for you? Was it Gruden plus? What was it for you, Rich?
There's a great clip on NFL Films with Dick Vermeil on the sidelines, and he grabs a hold of Ron Jaworski, who was struggling at the time, and he said, I'm not going to yank you. You're my guy. And I talked to Jaws about that later and how much that meant to him, just to know that somebody believed in him. And I never really had that until I got to Oakland. John Gruden basically stuck his neck out. They got rid of Jeff George. They owed him a lot of money. And he was convinced that I was the guy that could come in. And I never really, at that point in my career, you know, I started some games and I had some success in Kansas City, but I wasn't the primary starter. So he really believed in me enough to go to Al Davis and try and convince Al Davis to hire this, you know, backup quarterback, this kind of journeyman from the Chiefs. And I went in there and I thought to myself at that point, I'd made some good money. I had a good contract. And I thought to myself, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do what I know is right. I'm just going to be honest and truthful. And John and I were just, you know, birds of a feather. We just hit it off. I mean, the system was the same. We were, you know, cut from the same cloth. I mean, we just believed in it the same way, and we just were passionate about it, and we were just going to speak our mind. And I didn't make a lot of friends in Oakland my first couple of years because I was hell bent on getting things right. And there was a real lack of leadership. There was a lack of clarity. There's a lack of it was a dysfunctional environment. Guys didn't care. Guys didn't work at it. And so eventually we got rid of those guys. We started bringing in some really good players, you know, Rod Woodson and John Perella and Jerry Rice and Trace Armstrong. And, you know, I could go on and on. Just really guys that cared about football. They were real professionals. And it really began to make a difference in the locker room.
Rich Gannon here on the Rich Eisen Show. And let's get to the here and now. I'll ask this point blank, Rich, as we get set to see Gruden on the sideline tonight for the Raiders. Are you the only quarterback he ever liked? Rich?
I don't know if he liked me. You know, John can be hard on quarterbacks, and you know I think he's a perfectionist. And
right.
One thing that we got along so well is I realized how hard he worked to put together a game plan for me. He wanted nothing but the best for me to succeed and have success and our team to win. And so when you put in that same effort and energy and have the same passion, I think then you know things work. I think Derek is on his way. I mean, Rich, I really think he's had a good year. I mean, he's got a lot of young players around him at the receiver position. Josh Jacobs is going to be a star, but he hasn't been healthy. They've had injuries well on the offensive line. I think their biggest Achilles heels are defense. I mean, in order to be a good defense in this league, you have to have pass rushers and cover corners. And the Raiders just don't have enough of them. And they give up way too many points defensively. If you're the Raiders, you got to score 35 points each week to have a chance to win. And that's just too tough right now.
Well, the good news is, long-term, is there's another Philly guy who knows this very same thing in Mayock, who's the one who's shopping for the groceries there. The unfortunate thing is they got, you know, they switched defensive coordinators, even though it's Rod Marinelli coming in a short week. I mean, that's tonight with Justin Herbert coming in. Have you had Herbert yet this year? Have you seen his in front of you?
I probably have done more Herbert games than anyone at the networks. I think we've probably done 5 games of his.
Right.
So this kid is going to be a superstar. I mean, he's got, you know, he was a 3-time academic All-American, Rich, at Oregon. His brother is a first-year medical student at Columbia University. He is a really bright kid. He didn't have the benefit of an all-season like, you know, obviously nobody did, but it really hurts young players and young quarterbacks. It's as if he never even needed it. He just picked up the system very quickly. I think the thing that's been so impressive with him is just the consistency, which we don't see from young players and young quarterbacks. He's going out there every week and put his team in a position to have a chance to win. Now, if Anthony Lynn can stay out of the way and manage the games better, I mean, honestly, it's been a train wreck what they've done late in the half and late in games with game management decisions, but he's going to be a really good player. I mean, he can make all the throws. He's 6'6". He's 237 pounds. He's athletic. He can run around. He can extend plays. He's the real deal.
Rich Gannon here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the best team you've seen in front of you, I'm not familiar with every game that you've called this year, but which is the best team that you've seen in person, Rich?
Well, I think Pittsburgh, you know, they've had a little bump in the road the last 2 weeks. I think they'll get things back on track. I think the Chiefs right now are the best team in the AFC, maybe in professional football. I mean, it's the Mahomes factor, Rich. I mean, 3 interceptions last week. You know, they turned the ball over 4 times, 8 penalties. He was sacked 3 times. They still had 448 yards of offense. They scored 33 points. I mean, even on a bad day, they're just so hard to beat because of him. I mean, I've covered a lot of great quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers is one of them. This guy has a lot of the same qualities and attributes when you look at arm talent and feet and quickness and extended, you know, but just all the qualities that you love at the position. And the great thing about Mahomes, he's got some humility to him. You know, he's so good in the locker room with his teammates. He accepts responsibility when things don't go well. This kid is already a superstar, and he's well on his way to being one of the best ever.
A buddy of mine told me, you know, when he was watching Mahomes the other day, that the people in the room were just saying how easy football looks for him. And we know it's not easy, but it just does look so simple. Now, obviously, the weaponry and the coaching has a lot to do with that. But, I mean, if you rush him up the middle, he'll just backpedal 10 yards, right? If you try and come around the edge, maybe he'll just, you know, escape it. He'll get out the gate somehow. And then you've got a receiving core that is headlined by Tyreek Hill, who's a superstar in this league now. And we had DK Metcalf earlier on in the show, Rich, but he's the leading receiver in the NFL. the leading pass catcher in the NFL is their tight end.
Travis Kelce.
It's insane. Yeah, it's insane.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Rich. I think he's got the best tight end in football. He's got one of the best receivers in football. There's a team that has the ability to run the ball when they want to, and maybe the best play caller in football in Andy Reid, who doesn't get enough credit for what he does on the offensive side of the ball with Eric Bieniemy. They come up with creative packages every week to attack a defense and stretch the field. They make you defend the entire field, not just vertically, but horizontally. I mean, every inch of the field. And the quarterback, as you said, I mean, honestly, I played the position for 17 years. I was a league MVP, went to 4 Pro Bowls. But this guy, honestly, you're right. He makes it look so easy, and it's not. I mean, it's not that easy. And yet he goes out there every week and throws for 350 yards and 3 or 4 touchdowns. And, I mean, when he throws an interception, it's like, it's everyone's shell-shocked. I mean, his ability to take care of the football, to see the field, to make great decisions, I mean, everything just seems to slow down. And I've talked to a number of defensive coordinators, and nobody, you say, well, that's, keep him in the pocket, set the edge, force him to function as a pocket passer. Don't let him extend. Yeah, okay, we'll do all that. I mean, I just remember when talking to some really good coaches when they talked about defending Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Now, they don't have the mobility that this guy has, but they always said, if you can rush 4 and drop 7 in the coverage, if you can get pressure with your front 4,
right,
that's your best chance. And I really believe that's the same thing with Mahomes. You look at the 49ers last year in the Super Bowl. I mean, if you can, you've got a good defensive line and you can rush 4 and affect him some and speed him up some, that's your best chance.
Well, that's the way that obviously the Giants beat the undefeated Patriots in that Super Bowl. Just Strahan and Tuck and OC and another set of hands in the dirt, and you swap them out for some fresh rushers and just rush 4 and get the pressure up the middle, and you can try and beat them. And we'll see who can actually do that this year. I got Rich Gannon here on the Rich Eisen Show. Brady, 43-plus, and Breeze, 40-plus. I mean, you were like a spring chicken now that you take a look at it when you won the MVP. And you've got Rivers this week. He's 39. Put Brady and Rivers in the same basket here as two guys who are in the same, I guess, age group, tax bracket, if you will. Not nearly as decorated in their careers, but in new offenses this year. You're seeing Philip this weekend, and you're looking at Brady right now in Tampa through 14 weeks of football. Is Rivers hitting a stride and Brady still not comfortable? How do you see it, Rich Gannon, here?
I think the Rivers situation going to Indy was a better fit. Obviously, he had spent time with Frank Reich. Frank knew him from their time together with the Chargers. He's playing behind a much better offensive line, Rich. Maybe the best offensive line he's ever played with when they're healthy. He's on pace to have the fewest number of sacks that he's ever taken in his career. I think it's 15 he's on pace for. He's got a more experienced and a better play caller than he had a year ago, who understands the importance of the running game, especially with a 39-year-old quarterback who lacks mobility, and he's getting the ball out quick. Unlike last year where they're holding the ball, trying to push the ball down the field, I mean, this year it's about the short, the intermediate passing game, a lot of first down throws, a lot of play action game. You're seeing Philip under center a little bit more than we had early in the season. And, now you've got Jonathan Taylor who, had a season-high rushing performance last week against mm-hmm. the Raiders. So I think that bodes well for them. In terms of Brady, I've talked to some people down there. There's something that's not – they're just not firing on all cylinders. And I think it's – you got Bruce involved. You got Byron Leftwich involved. Brady is used to doing it a certain way. And I always felt like this was going to be the challenge. Tom had been in one system for 20 years. Mm. Think about it. When he first started with the Patriots, he had Charlie Weiss. When Charlie Weiss left, Bill was smart enough to know, hey, look, we're not going to bring in someone from the outside. We're going to promote someone from within. So he promoted a guy, a receivers coach that hardly anyone ever knew, in Josh McDaniels. Well, then when Josh left, they promoted another guy that hardly anyone ever knew, Bill O'Brien. And then when Bill was getting ready to leave, they brought back Josh. So all he ever knew was that same system, the same terminology, the same verbiage, same footwork. And they surrounded him, the cast of characters around him changed, but the system never did. And now he goes to Tampa Bay where they're trying to work with him and work with his system, but Bruce has got some concepts he likes. And so it's just, for whatever reason, and I think the other thing that you're not hearing is I just think Brady's used to things being done a certain way. Attention to detail, discipline, structure. I'm not saying that Bruce isn't that way, but it's probably not as tight. It's probably not as disciplined. And so Tom's probably having to walk over to the receivers during practice and coach them up a little bit, talk to the backs, whereas he never had to do that. I mean, all those assistant coaches in New England had been there forever, and they all knew it was supposed to be done a certain way, and they all had to answer to Bill. And my sense is things aren't as dialed in as he wants them to be, as he needs them to be on Sunday, and that's had an effect on his performance.
Before I let you go, Rich Gannon, before I let you go here, I would like to unpin your reference to Mike McCarthy earlier in this conversation, saying that he helped unlock your career in a way when he was your quarterback coach way back in the day in Kansas City prior to your days with the Raiders. Now he's getting his second crack at being a head coach in this league after a remarkable run in Green Bay. And the narrative involving Mike this season from unnamed players saying the coaching staff is without a clue and that the defensive coordinator and Mike Nolan does not have the troops clearly on the same page for this head coach who has made some, you know, head-scratching decisions. I know you mentioned Anthony Lynn earlier today making some decisions that puts his team behind the eight ball. There's just been a lot to be desired in his first year in Dallas. What do you think is going on there with Mike, Rich?
Well, Rich, I know you know him well, and I know you have great respect for his body of work,
yes.
As do I, and I really believe that Mike will get it turned around. I feel awful for him. No one works harder. It's important to him to get the thing right. We can't make excuses. I mean, not having Dak is a huge issue. The injuries they've had along the offensive line, but look, nobody cares about that. They only care about is the product on the field, and it's not been to their standard, and I think there'll be some changes. I don't think there's any question. I as much as I like Mike, he's fiercely loyal to his people. And Mike Nolan gave him an opportunity with the 49ers, if you remember back.
Yes.
Mike Nolan hired Mike as his coordinator. Mike was there 1 year. He had Alex Smith, and then he left and went on to coach the Green Bay Packers. And I think he hired Mike, gave him an opportunity. I don't think it's worked out. And I really believe that that'll be the first change. I think there'll be a defensive coordinator change. I think there'll be some staff changes. But Mike's got to look himself in the mirror and say, look, I hired these people, and we've made some bad decisions. We made some poor decisions on game day, and a lot has to change. I think it will. It's been an upside-down, crazy division. How about the Washington Football Club and Alex Smith? I mean,
amazing.
Who would have thought? But
amazing.
Anyway, I think there'll be some changes, and I think Mike eventually will get it straightened out. He's too good of a football coach, Rich, not to make it work in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, Washington football team's been amazing. And Alex Smith, what a story. I mean, holy crap, what a story, Rich, for him to be doing what he's doing.
I get one of those 50 votes. I think you do as well, Rich. And honestly, it's a slam dunk. I think the moment he stepped onto the field for the first time, there's your comeback player of the year. And now you look at what he's done. And had he not gotten hurt, Washington would have made the playoffs a couple of years ago. I mean, he is a great football player. He doesn't get enough credit for the job he did in San Francisco, the job he did in Kansas City, the job he did with Patrick Mahomes. You talk to Patrick Mahomes, you talk to Andy Reid about the impact and the influence he's made on Mahomes' career. It because he learned and watched a pro do it. And that was so important. But anyway, I think the world of Alex Smith, it makes me nervous, Rich, every time he steps on the field, he's going to get hurt again. I got to tell you.
Me too. But that went out the window, really, when the first sack he took when he returned was Aaron Donald on his back. And he walked Aaron Donald by about a yard or two before he finally went down. And I saw that. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's the best first hit he could have taken. And gotten up from.
Could you imagine, though, Rich? I mean, we all have skin in the game to some extent. But could you imagine how his wife feels every time?
Oh my gosh!
Or how about the orthopedic surgeons? How about the plastic surgeons? Everyone who worked on him, he had an army of doctors. They're watching this game with great interest. Obviously, they're huge fans, but they got to be just scared to death every time the guy takes a sack.
I know, Rich. Oh, my gosh. Hey, this has been a great conversation. Let's do this more often. Maybe we'll get you back on it in the playoffs.
I can't thank you enough for the work that you do on behalf of the National Football League.
Wow,
you've been amazing. And you've been a great mentor to a lot of people like myself who come into the profession that are very green, and that your patience your professionalism, your expertise, and your attention to detail really rubs off. And so I just want to thank you.
Man.
I hope you guys have a great holiday.
You too, Rich. Thanks for the compliment. Thanks for the call. I look forward to hearing you on CBS with the Colts and the Texans in Week 15. Rich Gannon right here on the Rich Eisen Show. That was great. What a fun chat with Rich. Couple things. First thing, when he said, how about the orthopedic surgeon watching, you know?
Yeah.
When Aaron Donald went on top of him,
ooh.
Here's my pop culture reference here, okay? When Aaron Donald jumped on top of him, that was like the moment in Apollo 13 where they're all holding with bated breath that to see if the LEM was going to actually hold steady for these guys
right.
to keep going down the chart to try and get these guys to a position where they could come home, right? And then when Alex Smith held, remember that guy who was like, how about that, Lem, huh? Remember that? Huh? How about that? They're holding their breath and then it actually held. How about that, Lem, huh? Yeah. It's like that moment from Apollo 13.
Yeah.
And then in terms of, that's very nice of what Rich. You looked at me, I looked at you when he said, you've got a vote, don't you? Because you know I don't have a vote for stuff like that.
I know that don't have a vote for any of the awards.
And you know that's kind of like...
It's a thorn in your side.
Well, it's kind of... It's worse than stick to football because I'm trying to just stick to football. And
they won't let you.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. There's a lot of news because it is the final day of Hanukkah. And Mike Davis, the Judah Maccabee of fantasy football, his oil... I think is going to burn into week 15. And is Keenan Allen in jeopardy of not playing tonight? That's coming up. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Browns Giants, they made that Odell for Jabril Peppers trade. Jabril's balling out. As we know, Odell's out for the year. Joe Judge and Kevin Stefanski. This literally goes back to high school, this rivalry. It's an unbelievable story that I'm sure Michelle Tafoya and the rest of the gang will unpack. And Mike Tirico will start unpacking at 7 Eastern time on NBC. Did you see somebody put that theme music over the vaccine being wheeled into a hospital?
Yeah, pretty great. Yeah.
I saw that on Twitter.
The internet can be awesome sometimes.
Yeah, for as terrible as it is, it's also
it
great.
It can be
sometimes.
Really good moments. You
know, I like being able to play that theme.
It is good, right?
It's good.
And now the slow going to break, slow, sad Fox Sports theme that they play going to break only when there's an injury. That's Tom Rinaldi's new music.
Yeah, new age. The new age theme.
Yeah, Rinaldi. Jumping
Rinaldi.
Ship. Going to Fox.
Going to Fox Sports. Can't wait for him to be sitting across Skip. That'll be great. All right, we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before we get to the news update, which, by the way, will culminate with show news, there is news involving the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, all Ooh. Right. What do we got?
You let me go, Rich?
It'll be part of That is not the news.
Ah, dang it.
That is not the news.
TJ was all excited.
I was about to break open the wallet.
Now, it's very nice what Rich Gannon had to say.
It was really cool.
It was very nice what he had to say about, meeting him back in the day and getting to work with each other. And people associate me with the sport of football, which is terrific, even to the point where it does piss me off. Stick to football, all that. I get it. That I don't have any other sense of other sports, whatever, all that. But the fact that Rich assumes I have a vote for MVP or those awards, he assumes incorrectly.
What?
I do not have a vote for them. And I found out early on in my career why.
Oh, really?
Yes. The Associated Press is the one who's in charge of these awards. And they award or reward people in our business with a vote for it. And they decide who gets to vote and who doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I thought after a few years of NFL Network, I did actually look into why can't I? I mean, I cover the sport. I'm associated with it. I give my opinions all the time on it. I interview athletes. I know them. I interview anybody from rookies before they join the league all the way through to Hall of Famers when they're done with the league. And, well, you're never done with the league. And word came back, I'm not allowed to get a vote because the Associated Press says I'm an NFL employee and thus I can't get a vote from them because I don't, in their mind, have independence to vote because I'm an NFL employee.
Like Roger Goodell is going to tell you who to vote for?
It's beyond absurd.
Yeah.
And I think after now 18 seasons of covering this and being able to say anything I want to say about the NFL and having had that, if you will, political cover from Roger Goodell himself for all those 18 years, I still don't have a vote.
It's weird, Rich. We actually got finding out that you don't get a vote from all those years ago.
Okay, what is
it? I talked to football players, pro football players across the board. They think it's
I sound quite a bit like Ben Affleck on Bill Simmons' show.
Yeah, weird. I don't know.
His
His
HBO show.
I thought it
was that recorded after 5 p.m.?
I don't know.
During drinking hours.
Look, I'll give you my opinion here, you know, and I give it freely. It's an antiquated way to look at the world, I guess. But I haven't checked on it in a long time. I haven't. So
it also stinks.
It was a very frustrating conversation I had with the Guardian at the Associated Press. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you're telling me I'm not independent enough. Like, you're telling me I can't think for myself.
Yeah.
I'm too afraid.
It also,
or that the NFL, you know what, let's try and influence the vote for offensive player of the year through Rich.
Right.
Let's give Rich a call and say, Rich, you better vote for this. Otherwise, your children don't eat.
You're
like, seriously, like, really? Is that the way?
But now there's so many people and outlets who cover the league. It's the biggest sport, you know, in the country, obviously. Limiting it to just 50 people, and it's only one vote. There's not a first, second, or third.
Yeah, that's
just
kind
one
of
vote.
That's
50
weird.
People vote. Like, what are we doing?
That's weird. It should be a first, second, third, and then there's a point system.
But
so at least
let's open it up to 200, 300 people. There's so many people who cover the league and cover it so well.
Understood. But there's not enough people that, you know it that well enough.
I'm just trying to say, you know, you should
know what
be
I mean?
In.
But. No, I appreciate that. What I'm just saying is not a lot of people know it as well as I do.
Well, I'm not,
you know what I mean, Chris?
Now. I do know what you mean. Just saying. Let's open it up a little bit.
Let's create a meme.
Let's open it up a little
put
bit.
Rich Eisen over DK Metcalf and put AP over Buda Baker. And send it to DK and say, look, we're comparing you to somebody else. Your thoughts. That was great. You got to check out our conversation with DK earlier on.
Yeah.
Here's what I'd like to do, because Michael Smith is going to be calling in shortly.
Great.
Let's get to the news update.
Okay.
There's a couple phone calls I'd like to take, which we'll do. We'll take the calls before Michael Smith.
Okay.
All right. So let's get to the news update, which includes some Rich Eisen show news. Go
let's
for
go.
It, Chris.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever. It's Chris Brock.
What do you have over there, Christopher?
All right, a lot of injuries for fantasy playoffs this week. But first, I want to get a Drew Brees update. Sean Payton talked this morning, said about Drew Brees, it's pretty simple. It's a functionality, strength, throwing without soreness. There's a process. So it's really whether he's asymptomatic, feeling good and strong, like he can function and play well.
Hey, man, Alex Smith was asked about his calf injury as well. And his answer was like, it'll be real simple if I can't go. Like, it'll be an easy decision.
Yeah, Alex Smith, not practicing today.
That's what I'm saying. You're not going to, if you're a quarterback, put yourself back there in harm's way if you're still feeling the effects of broken ribs. Because that's something that can, if you screw that one up, that thing can linger all the way through to the Super Bowl.
For sure.
So, Taysom Hill versus Patrick Mahomes. But by the way, if that happens, crazier things have happened, by the way. Taysom Hill could win that football game. Crazier things have happened.
Yeah,
I think it's more of a possibility of Taysom Hill beating the Chiefs than Dwayne Haskins beating the Seahawks.
I think
so. How about that for mixing up two situations that don't deserve to be mixed up, with the exception of you've got veteran quarterbacks.
I think so, yeah, that makes a lot. That's logical.
And more green backups. How about Sean Payton telling our NFL media group colleagues, Steve Weich and Jim Trotter, for their podcast that the next quarterback of the Saints, he believes, is in the building?
Yeah, he says he's going to give Jameis a shot to win the job.
So we'll see how that plays out.
All right, some more fantasy stuff, Rich. You still have Mike Davis, right?
Do I ever, sir?
Well,
it's the eighth day of Hanukkah. It's the final night of Hanukkah, sir.
Mazel, congrats.
Thank you.
Christian McCaffrey, Rich, doubtful for week 15.
Unbelievable.
TJ, how'd that trade work out?
Aaron Jones didn't do very much last week anyway. It's kind of a wash, but
I would have met that team this week. We both lost last week.
That's a bummer, man. Yeah. Bummer. So Christian McCaffrey doesn't look like he's going to go.
Unbelievable. Against Green Bay, by the way.
So Mike Davis against Green Bay this week.
Oh.
Miracle. Well, Ronald Jones, you know, got the pin put in his pinky. He's also been thrown on the COVID list, so he's obviously not playing this week. Leonard Fournette here putting in all the work. So big Leonard Fournette week coming up for Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Gibson working on the side today at practice, still dealing with the turf toe. Ezekiel Elliott was limited today. Still expected to go.
What about tonight?
Tonight. So Mike Williams is out.
He is out.
Not expected to play.
Okay.
And Keenan Allen, if he does play, he's going to be a game time decision. But if he does go, limited.
I don't understand the whole limited thing, like on pitch count
just
or whatever.
Pitch count, play count.
Wow. And yeah. Austin Eckler is going to go, right? He sounded like a very chipper individual. He didn't sound like somebody.
Yeah, he didn't sound like a guy that wasn't playing play this week.
Wow. That's a big one tonight for the Chargers and obviously fantasy football. I mean, Keenan Allen has been terrific with Justin Herbert.
Unbelievable. And as we mentioned before, Jason Garrett. Is on the COVID list for the Giants. So Freddie Kitchens, former Browns coach, he's going to make the plays. He's going to call the plays against the Browns on Sunday night.
Okay.
And something really funny, I don't know if you guys saw this. Kawhi Leonard was on Jimmy Kimmel last night.
Okay.
So just a couple of highlights from that conversation. Kawhi has a Twitter account, but hasn't tweeted in over 5 years. It's because he doesn't know the password. Kawhi says he doesn't log on, has no idea what the password is, so he just avoids it
I thought the password was apples.
Okay, so that apple story that went around last year that the Spurs had a big team dinner,
yes,
very fancy restaurant, that Kawhi brought a dozen apples and just ate apples with a fork and a knife. Not true. Kawhi doesn't know how that rumor got started, but that's not true. And then another thing, Jimmy asked him.
Trying to go with Kimmel, getting all the answers we need.
Jimmy asked him about his hands, because you know Kawhi's got those huge hands,
yes.
and Kawhi said, he can't put his hands in pockets, like in his pants. They don't fit. His hands are too big for pockets.
Really?
And that his hands were always cold in Toronto because he couldn't find gloves that fit.
Really?
Some of the highlights from last night. Yeah.
Can't fit his hands in his own pockets.
He's like, just jean pocket. Can't fit his hands in pockets.
Oh.
You know how we all have that fifth pocket in our jeans, a little
sure.
one?
Yeah.
That's the regular pocket for Kawhi when he tries to put his hand
and
in.
And the interesting thing is that,
yeah.
What's you know what the opposite of that is? The opposite of that is somebody like Del Tufo who can't keep his hands out of other people's pockets.
Whoa.
Wearing free stuff all the time.
Okay. I didn't know that's where you were going with that. But.
You know what I mean?
I do.
It was real fun. Check it out on Jimmy Kimmel's YouTube very page. Good. Very fun interview with Kawhi.
Okay, very good. Hey, we've got Rich Eisen show news. Ready?
What do you got?
Rich Eisen Show with Rich Eisen Productions.
REP.
Has inked, we have inked, as they say in the trades, a deal with Westwood One.
Oh, hey.
Westwood One is now going to be the
goals.
Is going to now be the home of our podcast. So if you're on the RSS feed, just sit tight. It's going to be coming to you through Westwood One, and then starting in February, I'll be doing an original new podcast called Just Getting Started, which is going to be me interviewing people from all walks of life, news, entertainment, business, sports, obviously, but it's going to be a personal enrichment. about how people got started in their careers and how if you are looking to find out what the special sauce might be or what you can potentially do to you getting started, just listen to the stories that we hear about everybody getting started. And that's why it's called Just Getting Started. And Westwood One will also help assist in the distribution of this show on terrestrial radio. So we're very excited about
it. Can you dig it?
We can dig it.
That's awesome.
We can dig it. And
congrats.
One person who I know is not going to be terribly thrilled about it is Kurt Warner, because that means there's now another member of NFL Game Day Morning and NFL Network associated with Westwood One Sports. And there may be, Kurt may be without an I in his name at all, but no. Deep down, he wants it all to himself, and now he can't anymore, and it's too bad. So I don't know why I made our great announcement about throwing Kurt under the bus, other than the fact that it's fun.
I mean, you guys do it every Sunday.
No. Well, he does it with me too. So,
he's
also leading in the picks contest, and I'm just trying to chop him a little bit down to size, as if he needs that. But anyway, long story short, is we're very happy about taking our show, and we appreciate all the years that we were with Podcast One. And Norm Pattis is as great a person to work with, and also work along and partner up with, and thank him and everyone at Podcast One for all the years. But we're equally as excited to be with Westwood One and all of the future that we can build together terrestrially as well as digitally with our podcast. And I'll be starting a Rich Eisen show, Rich Eisen podcast shingle there as well. So we'll be taking ideas. And I'm looking over at you, Chris, with you. And, Sarah's got a pod. Maybe you want to hop on board, wet your beak a little bit?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. So we'll do all that good stuff and just keep you up to speed on everything that's going on here. So two enthusiastic thumbs up. Or at least they're pointing at me. That's what I'm saying. So anyway, long story short, because we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our friend Michael Smith. We'll take you two brother from another and take your phone calls to wrap up this Thursday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. All right, we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience is going to join us here on Peacock in about 60 seconds. Chris, you tweeted about this. It's unbelievable. It's remarkable. There's a golf
awesome.
Event going.
What,
this is a PGA Champions, PGA Tour Champions event, I think
I guess, yeah. I saw it on the PGA Tour Twitter this morning.
Okay, this is. Look at this. That's Tiger's son, Charlie. Look at that. The setup. Look at that. The finish. I mean, that's daddy. Oh, my God. And the twirl. The club twirl. How great is that? Look at this. Look at that high finish. Look where the hands are. Look at the body. Buckle to the hole. And then the twirl. And staring it down.
I mean, and then there's a side-by-side of them hitting.
Yeah.
They look identical.
Right.
And then right down to the, after the twirl, holding the club in the left hand, kind of just looking.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah, watch this. It's amazing.
Come on.
And then the twirl.
Yeah.
And then they both kind of.
Yeah, look at that. That's amazing. It's the finish.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God. I did not see this one. Step back like that and stare.
Step back. And
they're not even looking at each other. By the way, for our radio audience, we're looking at Tiger and his son Charlie having the same swing.
It's amazing.
Should I get me and one of my sons to go out there and try and mimic that?
1,000%.
My son has my slice. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, but Coop's a lefty.
Doesn't matter. Man. Zan's the righty. I'm sure he'll have my slice. The tape delay swing. Like, why? I can't, just like his father, can't get his hands and his hips to move through the zone properly. Doesn't hit down on the ball.
It's
looking at the trees, just like instead of actually focused on the ball.
Did you guys ever see the pictures of Serena and her daughter out in the tennis court? That's the only thing that you can compare to that. It's just like a goat and their offspring doing what they
Let's take a quick phone call before we got to Michael Smith. Sam in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. What's up, Sam?
Hi, Rich. Just wanted to call in today and talk to you about your favorite topic, Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, yes. What's on your mind, Sam?
I'm in South Carolina here.
Home of Clemson football.
Before I say what I say.
Okay.
That I was a a Jets and a Mets fan growing up. 69 was a very good year.
Okay.
Namath, Seaver, Ryan, all those were those were my guys.
Sure, Clyde Frazier too. Yep.
And Trevor is unbelievable, but I don't know if he's a good fit for the Jets.
Why is
that? I really don't.
Why?
Southern boy, eats in diners, drives a pickup truck.
Uh-huh.
I can see him living on the beach in Ponte Vedra Beach, you know, playing golf at Sawgrass or in Dallas.
Sawgrass is the home of in Duval County of Jacksonville. Bite your tongue. Sam, let me ask you a question here. You remember the 69 Jets, right? Who was the quarterback of the 69 Jets?
Namath.
What state is he from?
Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. But where did he go to school?
He went to Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just throwing it out there.
I'm a person that nobody knows.
No.
But I had Herbert, and I called CBS Sports. They were singing Tua's praises in 2019, and I had Herbert as the top quarterback coming out, and Josh Allen as the top one in 2018.
Right.
Okay. I'll tell you that Trevor Lawrence, I saw him play two series in high school.
Yes.
The first two series I saw him play. I said, that's the best high school quarterback I have ever seen.
Exactly right. And so he's going to come to New York, and I don't care what you say, Sam.
Hey, listen,
but yes.
Who this kid is.
Yes.
Is Peyton Manning bigger, stronger, faster, more athletic, arm.
He had me at hello too, Sam. And the fact that you from South Carolina, me from Staten Island, we're just fine. We can get along. Trevor can get along in the New York City market too. So I appreciate the call, Sam. Thank you. The call back, please. Would you mind? Because we got to get to our next guest. Because he and Michael Holly are going to chop this subject up on Brother from Another that we take you to in about 6.5 minutes. How are you, Michael Smith?
What's up, man? I heard y'all fawning over Tiger Woods and his son Charlie in his swings. And I saw it earlier, too.
Isn't that incredible?
I appreciated the breakdown. Because I'm not a golf analyst, but I like to think I know swag when I see it. And it was a twirl for me, too, man.
He's got this, but it's not just that. It's the body language of him staring it down and backing up off the swing. I mean, they had the same lean. They had the same finish. The hands high, buckle to the hole. I mean, again, not a bad situation in the Woods household.
We talk a lot about the pressures of being the son of Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan or you know, whoever. We don't often look at it from the father's perspective, because that must be really cool to know your son's got a shot.
Right.
Because mine, I prayed to God that mine was blessed with more athletic ability than I was. Like,
right.
I look outside and I see my son draining jumpers, and I'm like, thank God. Because I know I couldn't shoot. You know, I had no, that's why I'm here talking to y'all. I had no future in athletics. And so thankfully I can root for and live vicariously through my son. Because I didn't pass him anything the way that Tiger clearly passed his gifts on to Charlie. So good for Tiger.
I'll be honest with you. If I'm Mickelson's son or Chris DeMarco's son, I'm very upset about this video. this is going to be a problem if Charlie's anything like Daddy and he's got the swing.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh. So what's on your rundown with Michael Holly coming up shortly?
We're talking about Trevor. We're talking about Trevor Lawrence, man. I mean, I know you're a Jets guy, and for the purposes of that conversation, I am too, man. Like, this notion that he may try to pull an Eli or an Elway or something, like, nah, man. I got the kid's a winner. I think he's 85-3 since high school. And, you know, I don't throw out the word deserve that often because, you know, as Gene Hackman, actually, it's Clint Eastwood's character.
It deserves got nothing to do with it. Is he popped Willie Money?
It's got nothing to do with it, you know, and
right.
Unforgiven. So,
right, it's Willie Money popped him. Yeah.
Y'all deserve Trevor Lawrence, man. It's time. It's time to be a contender again. It's time to be relevant again for the right reasons, not for draft day booze. You know, y'all haven't been bad enough to get here. You've just been bad enough to have the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th pick or something like that and not have them finish their rookie contracts. I'm looking forward to excitement for Jets Nation. And listen, last year Burrow went to the Bengals. Mike Brown's one of the cheapest owners in all of professional football, right?
Yeah.
The year before that, it was Kyler Murray going to the Cardinals, who had just blown it with Josh Rosen the year before and fired a coach after one season. The year before that, Baker Mayfield goes to the Browns, where quarterbacks have gone to die. Their careers, at least, have gone to die. So this idea that the Jets ruin Trevor Lawrence. It's like, no, man, they got to build a team around him as Sam Darnold.
Right.
But he'll be fine. I believe in the kid.
You have too many games left to get it wrong, but assuming that they do lose what they need to lose and get it done, you know, Trevor Lawrence, again, apparently it is not into the whole idea of all the trappings or what have you, that he's a real laid-back kid, and Dabo Swinney was on the show last week and said he's as normal as they come and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Look, but we all, when it all comes down to it, we all like money. Nobody's going to turn it down. And you know, at some point, you know, the concept of going to New York City will dawn upon him as the right place for somebody who is coming into the league. And all he's got to do is speak to the Manning family, who apparently he is tight with, about the benefits of playing in New York City if you do it right. And I just want to make sure he speaks to Eli after the Jets have him, not before. And that once the Jets have him, he can talk to him, because who nailed it? Who stuck the landing by living in New York City and crushing it for a franchise quite like Eli Manning? And the Jets will also, if you say, you know, obviously they're not to be trusted because of what they did to Sam Darnold, it's not the same general manager, and it's also not going to be the same coach. So, and they're going to get the best possible coach because Trevor's coming. That's the way
no
I'm
question.
Handling it.
And the trappings in New York only come when you win. So you hope the temptations come. Because you get the flip side if it doesn't turn out right. If it turns out to be a bust, which nobody believes he will, but you know, that won't be a problem. So that's the problem you want, is that the endorsements and the limelight and the attention and the headlines could potentially become a distraction, because that means you're playing well. But it won't go to his head. The kid's already he's built for it. So
I know you got
I'm rooting for you, man.
I know you got 2 minutes left in this show till we send it over to you. And I'm just glad that Brother from Another is actually going to put a show together today, despite Michael Holly changing the travel schedule and demanding that the show start at a certain time. And you're being fine with that.
Film, I think that's never watch film on time.
That's right.
We got to stay. We got to stay in cities longer because he wants to stay there.
Exactly. But you're
completely unprofessional. But you ain't hear that from me.
Right.
That's just sources.
And is Holly
that's
showing sources. Up? Is Holly showing up out of weight? Overweight? Is he not showing up in shape? I mean, you're still able to put a show together today, and I'm proud of that. It can normally.
Well, but you know the crazy thing. Between the two of us, he definitely likes to hog the ball the most. He is such an ISO ball player. Don't tell him I said that, though. That source is close to the situation. But he comes in, he gets his 50-point triple-double.
There you go.
But nah, I mean, you know, he's still got to learn. It's not the way we do it. You want to be a franchise player?
Yes.
There's certain ways you got to do things.
As long as he shows up and gives the takes required to get you through your two-hour rundown and you put a great show together, it doesn't matter if he's hungover or anything like that. I appreciate that.
But he better not ask for a trade. You can't have all that and ask for a trade. You can't make all the money Holly's making and have all these different, you know, perks and say, I want to get traded and leave me hanging.
Have a great show, Michael.
That ain't how this is going to work.
Have a great show.
I might be getting traded to your show or something.
We've definitely got spots. We've got spots. We could figure that out. But I don't want, again, I don't want no dissension. It can usually tear apart certainly a young show, a young team, and you guys are
We'll still make the playoffs. Don't worry. But, I mean, he's got a long way to go before he understands what it means to be a championship ball player. But that's what I'm here for. They brought me in here to teach him the way.
Have a great show, Michael. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate y'all. Y'all take it easy.
Check it out with Michael Holly, Michael Smith, right here on Peacock TV. Normally, that can tear a show apart. But
rise above.
They're doing it.
Rise above.
Thanks to Rich Gannon, Michael Smith, Richard Jefferson, and DK Metcalf, who reminds me of a young DK Metcalf. We're back here on Peacock to take you to Brother from Another in a moment. We'll see you Friday. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.